keep his statutes still. Oh, that my God would grant me grace to know and do his will. Oh, send my spirit down to write my law upon my heart, nor let my tongue indulge deceit, nor act a liar's heart. 1030.
Thank you. is Psalm 32, verse 8. I will instruct thee and teach thee the way that thou shalt go. I will guide thee with my heart. It's a blessing if the Lord has begun the work of grace in our hearts and given us a gracious desire within for Him and Him alone to guide our ways, to direct our path. Because unless He does it, all is in vain in our worship. And the child of God is brought to the place, we believe here, where grace and providence all together unite in the things of their life. When sins of sin and fraud force me, says one, the sinner's friend, he engaged to manage all by the way and to the end. The child of God will very much ask the Lord, I believe, from time to time, Lord, guide me. It dropped into my heart this morning very early. Guide me, O thou great Jehovah, filled through this arid land. I am weak, but thou art mighty. Hold me with thy mighty hand. What a wonderful blessing it is if the Lord has made us truly dependent upon Him. In and of ourselves, we have nothing to rely on, nothing to depend on. The good man says, you know, thou art, O Christ, art all I want. All in all, in thee I find. Then, Lord, do come to me and do instruct me. Now, He instructed the Lord Jesus, instructed His disciples. And when the Lord asked them, when others went away from Him, and He said, will ye also go away? Will you go away? It's a good question for us to ask ourselves this morning, you know. Do we think we should be left to go away from the Lord? And then the disciples were made aware of their own inability to do anything or go anywhere. To whom can we go? Where can we go, Lord? To whom or whither shall I flee? And the child of God, often feeling a guilty sinner, said, with such a load of sin, I have anywhere else I can go, but thou, O Christ, art all I want. Now this is the way of life, the way of eternal life. It is the way whereby sinners are found, that they will presently, if not at the beginning, obtain peace in their conscience and peace. And many today would give something for peace, would they not? Where does it come from? Where does the child obtain peace? Only through the merits, the righteousness, and the person of a dear Redeemer Christ. No other way. And the Lord will instruct you in the things that are spiritual. Now you know we're taken up for the most part, and we're all guilty. I'm guilty of it, I'm sorry about it. I tell the Lord I'm so sorry. I had to tell Him in the vestry a few minutes ago, I don't feel that I really pray as I should have done. But I want to. And I want Him to do this, to instruct me deeper in that path of prayer. That we may find sweet success and liberty at the throne of grace. And having this, He imparts peace, joy, unspeakable. It's in the Word of God. Don't let us be afraid of it. Joy unspeakable and full of glory is out. Never reached it yet. There will be a day when the Lord will bring you to it, and He'll bring that to you. And He will instruct you. Now let's come back to the beginning. Our nature, yours, mine, and everyone, young and old, children, and the adults and old people, we're all tainted with this. We do not, for the most part, seek after those things which are above, which we seek for those things which are below. But the command that Jesus gave is this, seek ye first the kingdom of God and His righteousness. I'll instruct you in this part. And all these things should be added unto you. I used to think, well, Lord, in my early days, I wish it was something material that I could handle. It's not. Seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, something that the natural eye doesn't see, and the natural mind doesn't understand, and the human heart cannot comprehend. Now what a mercy if we stand in need of such a Saviour as will instruct us in the way that he'd have us go. You consider what he is, and look at here the promise that he gives with it. I will instruct thee, and I'll teach thee, and I will guide thee. All in those few words, and he would kindly do this for his people. How can we be left to be dependent upon ourselves? What is there in ourselves that we can depend on? Our flesh, it profits nothing. But what about Christ, when we're brought to lean hard upon him? And when we're like the church of old, and we read, who is this coming up out of the wilderness, leaning upon her beloved? Who is it? Christ. Who is coming? Who's leaning? It's the sinner. It is the church of Christ. It is the sinner called by grace, the sinner redeemed by his precious blood. They've got none other to lean on. Now what are you looking for to get? Where are you looking for to be instructed? See, there's so many people that say, well, I'll tell you where I can get it. I've got a few books and I've learned it this way. Friends, you have never learned spiritual things not from a book like you have learned your lessons of school, your child will learn their lessons at school. You may have comfort, you may have encouragement. Sometimes the Lord is pleased to give us a word when we read of someone else's life, but the real effect of the Word of God is the application of it. When this word, we would use this word and say, now, the Lord dropped this into my heart when I was in trouble. I will instruct thee and teach thee in the way that they should go. He instructs you when you're in trouble. He instructs you when you do your cast down. And he has promised to lift up the head of his people that are cast down. I'll instruct you. Now look at the troubles that come along. Look at the troubles that are about today. I think every day in my life for the countless thousands and now 3 million people who are thrown on the unemployment, what do we care about? Do you cry before them? Let's just stop here a minute, friends. It's so easy for you and I to be supplied, you know, day after day and take it for granted without any feeling returning it to the Lord. Day after day, week after week, I beseech of the Lord to do something about it. Only he can do it. Man, no woman, no penny, no one. They cannot manage this great task. Now what a mercy it is. It is people, as it were, let me use this one word, are brought to amalgamate together in prayer and supplication and ask the Lord, Lord, do instruct us. Nations need instructing. Prime ministers need instructing. Kings and queens need instructing to do the thing properly. But alas, how many today are asking the Lord to give us this instruction, the instruction that even the child of God wants. When a child wants to know something, where do they go? They don't ask another child for the most part because they know they wouldn't pop up to know what the answer is. They go to higher authority, some other place, somebody that knows something, and they take their case there. Where are we taking ours? What are your providential affairs? Are they all in Jehovah's hand? Do you have to commit your care and all your affairs into his gracious hand? Now you know there is a way that the Lord is will have each of his people to walk. And there is a path that the lion's whelp never known and the vulture's eye says could not attend in one chapel. The Lord said, no, I'll direct you. And in directing us, he puts us in the right place. But first of all, he makes that child of his appear a need for the Lord to guide us and instruct us in the way that he has. Now, I don't want to forget this, and you won't, and I haven't. We've got a will and we've got a mind of our own that says, Lord, this is the way. We have a plan, said the Lord. I have heard so many times, Lord, work to this plan, work to this. What impudence, really? Haven't you ever said to the Lord, this is the way I want it? The Lord says, not this way. Not this way. He brings the sinner here, shoes there the way, but still lead on. Nor leave me till I say, Father, thy will be done. Submission. Never found submission easy. But it's a wonderful blessing to be brought there and to realize the Lord knows better than us. And in knowing better than us, we will be taught then that he would instruct us. Now, if he gives us new instructions with regard to the pilgrimage journey, as if he were set there, I knew, look, that's where I shall take you presently, but you are still on earth. Now, what about here? What about there? And what about the journey between? You see, there is a great, great trial of our faith before ever we get to the heavenly city. Peter speaks of it, that the trial of your faith being much more precious than of gold that perisheth, though it be tried with fire. It is. Make no mistake. I would say to our younger friends too, make no mistake, if God begins with you, you will have a trial of faith, the trial of faith. You say, but why has he dealt with me like this? Or to make us sick of self, and fondly, because by nature we are not fond. We are not fond of the dear Redeemer, we don't love him. Not by nature. It is grace, grace, grace within our heart that causes us to feel this divine love to him and ask him if he will truly instruct us and teach us. Now, if I someone give you a few instructions with regard to the poor journey you're going to take, they were just detailed to us some of the things that we may see along the journey. But we are not yet being taught how to pray. He's instructing us, look, there's a celestial city. And there are different spots and places that you're coming to. But now we need to be taught for the different experiences that the Lord will bring us to. And those experiences, some will be sweet and many will be bitter. But the Lord puts sweetness and bitter in the cups of his people so that presently they shall be able to sing as you sung this morning, my Jesus has done all things well. The journey is a rough one. And I would say to the young, to the old, if you ever think for one moment that it is an easy thing to be a Christian or a child of God, it is no easy matter, because there are too many foes, too many enemies that engage against that child of God. There are those within, those without, I read last week. And it is true. And we need to be instructed in the way that we should go so that we know how to deal with these foes. And what about the foe, the adversary, the devil? I'll instruct you. And what do we think will the Lord do? He'll instruct us how to fight. Resist the devil and he will flee from you. What sometimes do you find you do? Listening to it. Sometimes to go ahead and your heart and soul, and you're overcome again and again. The Lord says, I will by means like these thy stubborn temper break, soften thy heart by new degrees, and make thy spirit meek. I'll press it down upon you. I'm going to do this for you. I'm going to make sure that you learn of me, says Christ. But the mercy of it is there, he says, come unto me, all ye that are weary and heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Come to me. And if we need a good, gracious, and a solid instructor, here is one that can detail to us all the hazards of the journey from earth to heaven. What a mercy. Sometimes to have a little face view of that blessed celestiality above. You know, it won't be so long, and I thought yesterday, during yesterday sometime, it won't be long before some of us, not many years, before some of us know what it is to have left the world behind. And what instruction we need, you know, in preparation to be taken to the heavenly city. I often think every day of my life I think of this. Another day, Lord, at the end of the day, another day of my life, my pilgrimage is gone. And another day nearer to that place above where I hope I shall be found, where congregations ne'er break up and Sabbaths have no end. Wouldn't it be wonderful to be where Sabbaths have no end, to be where Jesus is, to look upon him forever, to love him and adore him, to be able to explore the wonders of glory, and to be able to say, at last, to be where my Jesus is. He said, I will teach you all this, and teach you here below, and I'll give you a few foretastes of heaven. And he ever give me one. Say, so, what does this mean? It means this, that you're a sinner, called by grace, felt the power of the atoning blood upon your conscience, had a little of that blessed experience of your sins forgiven, and the sweet assurance that Christ can never be yours. That's the fullness of it. That's the blessing that is laid up in store for the people of God. Oh, to reach that blessed country, friend. How often it does sing in my heart, but no, they desire a better country, which is a heavenly. Wherefore God is not ashamed to be called their God. He isn't ashamed. He isn't ashamed of you, poor sinner. He has a delight in you. Their mind, look at what Malachi said. If they that fear the Lord, they shall be mine in that day when I make up my jewels, said the Lord. There's no such thing as, well, it may be that Christ came and died for sinners. He did. This man died for sinners. This man received sinners, and he eateth with them, and I believe it, because the Lord has so at times endeared himself to my inmost soul that it's made me feel. If our opinions of the dove, I'd fly to thee to heaven and be at rest. A little touch, a little foretaste, this is what it is, of heaven. That'll make you long to get there. You know, you're with me. Say you, but I don't have many, nor do I, but I have one in, one there along the journey. I'll teach thee. What are you going to teach me, Lord? I will teach you my salvation. And you've been praying with all thy great salvation, blessed, and say, I died for thee. What a teaching. How instructive. What a mighty spirit of truth this is that does this work in the heart. And as for God, his work, and his ways, they are all perfect. All perfect. You believe it? I have it. When I was young, I didn't want it. When I was in my teens, I was in. After I got married, I went away from it. There was no man that called me by grace, and no man that preached to me. The Blessed Spirit, Almighty Spirit of God, he arrested.
deserves.
You never forget. You can't forget. And when the good Spirit of God teaches, what does he teach? There is a time when he teaches of Christ. When he opens the understanding of the heart, gives faith to believe, and eyes to view, that eye of faith that views Christ and looks upon him, this is my beloved. This is my friend. O ye daughters of Jerusalem. Now how are you faring along this journey? Do you notice again, don't let us weary of it? He will instruct, he will teach, and he'll guide. Thy whole dependence on me fixed, nor entertain a thought, thy worthless speed with mine fixed, but venture to be known. There you'll come to the place, or call to the place, where you are made willing, where you will be instructed and taught by the Spirit of God. And what a blessed sacred teaching it is, because it is sacred truth, and it is sweet to the appetite, because when you are born again, you see, you're given a new appetite. You know what we got when we're in an unregenerate condition, when we're not born again? It's the world, the flesh, the devil, everything outside. We don't want Christ. When we're born again, the Lord gives us new things. A new taste, a new appetite, new desires. We pray like we've never prayed before, but we never wanted to. We were speaking together yesterday about the time when we were young. We didn't know each other then, but we often speak of these things, you know, after years, when we were young. And my dear one said, you know, I remember the time when I tried to pray in the night. I said, so do I. So what? And I said, where did you get on? I didn't seem to get on at all, nor did I. Why? Because there was no good. There was no Jesus then for either of us. How do we fare now? There's one who listens. There's one who gives liberty. And this is being taught of God in the things and truth of God, that he puts his truth within our heart, and he shows us that loving man that rules the course of this. What for? He is a high priest. He is the great mediator of the new covenant. Oh, do you know him, friends? Have you any gracious desire springing up out of your hearts this Sabbath morning toward this dear Redeemer, this dying man that has done so much for sinners? Look at the way. Cast up the way before you and show you this. This is the way. This is the way. Walk in. I remember once, 4 or 5 years ago in this pulpit, just toward the end of the discourse, this dropped into my heart, and I remember a friend said to me afterward how sweet it was for them that Jesus kindly said, and with a whispering word, arise my love and come away, I run to meet my Lord. And that has come back to me several times. Run to meet Christ at every way. You're in the way of grace, you're in the way of salvation, and in good time the Lord will show you you're in the path of peace. And I don't know anything on earth to be compared with the peace of God in one soul which passeth all knowledge of understanding. All the peace of God. And it is with the love of God. And it is with the love of Christ. And it is by the communion of the blessed Spirit of truth. Do you know these truths, friends? I can't give them to you. I can only preach them to you in a feeble way as the Lord helps me. But oh, I would love to know all of you had this the possession of these precious truths. That Christ is the friend of sinners, be that forgotten never. A wounded soul, not the whole, becomes a truly honest. instruct you, I'll show you the paths and the experiences that I will bring you into, said the Lord. But you hear so much today, well, I am walking that path. There's a path just as meant especially for a few people. It's especially for the people of God. Whether they may be here or elsewhere, I don't know. I don't know where people, God's people are. I know some, but I don't know them all. And I know one thing in my heart. He has given me a true love, I believe, for those that fear the Lord, because there is jewels. And I have a humble hope that I too am one of those jewels. They should be mine. Now when the Lord brings us to this place, being taught, now how many times have we heard this? Deeply taught. Deeply taught. But I tell you, if we are deeply taught by the Spirit of God, we are going to be deeply taught of what we are by nature as a sinner. And we have that before we find the precious. Feel myself undone will make me haste to kiss the Son. Lord, I'm a sinner. Look at the poor publican in the temple. Look at the wretched Pharisee who was so satisfied with himself. I thank God that I am not as other men are, or even as this publican, I don't want to be like him. Then the poor publican's turn. Did you come this way at last? Have you come this path at all? God, do you see the reverence there? God, be merciful to me, a sinner. That's real prayer. That's being deeply taught by the Spirit of God. And to know and feel it and realize it. The pangs you feel within your own breast at times because of your own sins. I say pangs, yes, because sin is a dreadful thing in the eyes of a holy God. And God cannot look upon it. And you and I cannot enter heaven with sin. It must be removed. And it cost the Savior so much. And he teaches his people what it cost him. And much did it cost him. Sin is not his own. His life, his breath, his sufferings, his feelings, desertion of his father. I will teach you these things. I will teach you what it is to be spiritually minded. Because to be carnally minded, those natural things, is death. Be spiritually minded. It is life and peace. And Christ has these blessings, you see, to impart, and he imparts upon what he teaches. And as the good Spirit comes and leads us on from day to day and from experience to experience, we learn a little more. Now we don't know a lot. I well remember years ago when I was going to a part of London to preach on a Wednesday evening. As I got round to a crossroads and was going to turn around the corner, I was walking. I met a minister. And I almost felt him dreadful, almost sympathetic for some reason, I don't know why. But well, he's a bigger man than me, and I'm sure he knows, he thinks he knows a lot more than I do, I'm sure he does. And first of all, that I had was this. I don't think he's very friendly to me. I won't stop and speak to him. And immediately, the Lord taught me, it's wrong, it's wrong. We should never pass another one, you know, it's wrong. I was brought up very quickly and stopped. We really met face to face, and I said to him, how are you? And he said, I'm older and I'm wiser. You know, I was not able. And I didn't feel like it. I was limping along going to the chapel, Lord help me. And it was a man who should have known better. I hope he really did, but I don't know. I'm older, but I'm wiser, and I looked at him. I say, Mr. So-and-so, if it is wise unto salvation to be well for you, or if it's not at all. He said, I suppose that's all that matters. I said, it is all that matters. So we parted. Never came into the chapel. Wise, wiser and older. Are you wise or older? Lord, what a fool I am. Undone, impotent, poor, wretched sinner often, working against in my mind against the things of God, despising even at times the mention of his grace, because my old heart that was still alive, still problems. Why? You'll never get rid of the old nature, friends. What will we see in the shadow light, as it were, a company of two arms? What goes on with two arms? Warfare, conflict, bitter. Grace rises against the old devil and nature, and the nature rises against grace, and so you keep on having in your own heart. You feel it, you know. What a disturbance it is. The Lord said, I'll teach you. Now what did he do? He teacheth my hands to war. So the good psalmist said, he teacheth my hands to war. What is he to you? He's the shield of my salvation. He's the hope of my soul. And what will he do for you? He'll bring you presently to the better country where you are damned fools. You lay down everything you know that you feel that you've been warring with and against. And the trouble is, we so often war in our own strength, don't we? How is it? What's the proper way to war? Child of God. Jesus, cast it upon me. Give me sweet simplicity. There you are. Lay me, Lord. Lay me at thy pleasant feet and make me to realize and know this, that Jesus is my all and in all. There's nothing or no one better than him. I will teach you in the way. Now, what about the way? How are we really concerned whether we are walking in the right way? See, someone said the other day, well, you know, you shouldn't be going preaching again. I said, yes, but I want to do this. I want to preach with my feet as well as with my tongue. And I made the pulpit, I want to reach with my feet. Lord, direct my paths. Teach me thy way, O Lord, and instruct me in the way that thou shalt have me go. Do you see? Need him still with the psalmist to still dictate him, as it were, in his most compassionate way. Sinner, sinner. Not that way. This is the way. Walk ye. I often feel alarmed. You don't get alarmed when I use that word, but I do get alarmed at times in the chapels, and it is a long, long time now since I began going around to the chapels in my 39th year. I get alarmed with this. There's friends, dear friends, godly friends, yet they're in the same path, the same way today as the day when I first saw them. There's no in that way that Christ says this. Follow me. Follow me. Now what is it? And I have oft times to ask the Lord this question. What is it? Is there something lacking in the preaching? Or is there something lacking in the way of love in the preaching? Don't we show enough love? Or the third thing is this. Don't the people love the Savior enough then? Don't they love Jesus enough to be able to say, come, all ye that fear God, and I will declare unto you what he hath done for my soul. How much love have you got to this Savior? Do you never really meditate on the cost of your salvation, the way that the Lord would have you walk. Look at it. I was shown the way that I want to have you walk, not the way that you want to walk. It's so easy, isn't it? Come into the chapel, maybe the chapel. Is it an easy matter to come to the front and say, now look, to the deacon, to the minister, you know, I must at last, before I die, I must really show the world that I love this dear Saviour. And I felt the prompting of his good spirit within my heart that I must say with the psalmist, or with the woman of Samaria, come, see a man that told me all that ever I did. Is not this the Christ? There's the theme, friend. There's the subject. There's the object. Object of my first desire. Jesus crucified for me. Do you not love him, friend? Do you not love him? You may say there's so many things to hinder. Take it all to him. Cast on me, he said, thy care. 'Tis enough that I am not. Providence and grace, and it all, as it were, be made to fit together, and you will see. They that honour me, said, I will honour. Do you despise him? I used to. I am truly sorry that I did. I used to do this, despise the mention of his grace, to pray with him, to seek a hiding place. But now, since he's taught me this of my sinners and of his worth as a Savior, things wear a different aspect. All things, says the good man, a different aspect where they did with those dear old saints. I teach you. Teach you the way of salvation. Teach you to hope in my name. Teach you to obey me. Teach you to listen to my commands. And what does he say about it? You're my friends. Oh, to be a friend of Jesus. To be a friend of Christ. You're my friends if ye do whatsoever I command you. Now you're not going on the rugged off, you know, and say, no, well, it's not for me. This is what is so often called and said, it's not for me. We read, we sing in one of our hymns, in our hymn book, what we call, Jesus said to all believers, be baptized in my name. And you've helped to sing it. Are you listening to his call? Are you listening to those words of Christ? Follow me. Look at what he said to his disciples. I remember the time when he said into my heart, follow me, and I will make you to be fishers of men. Fishers of men. In other words, you will cast the gospel net. And in doing so, by the power of the Spirit of God, I will give you soul for your life and seals for your ministry. And I don't believe I'm with it. Blessed be God with this. Now what have you? Contented? Satisfied? Oh, may he make you, and I speak to you with all the love of my heart, may he make you really discontented because you want him. Discontented because you want to follow him. And you feel up at the present time you have the power. Now he has the power. Beg of him to give you the love. His name is love. His person is love. And above everything else, the Song of Solomon, his mouth is most sweet. He is altogether lovely. I'll teach you of him. I haven't got anything else in my religion, only this friend. Christ is the friend of sinners. Be that forgotten never, and you wouldn't want anything different. Now what a wonderful mercy and a blessing there will be out of your heart. lets this his own love flow in, because you see, he loved us before we loved him. They could never have been written the other way. Our teacher, in your human heart, you haven't got any love at all, not spiritual, but our teacher is, you are loved because I first loved you. Now the outcome, what's the outcome of love? Two come together, and they're often there that they find they're happy in the knowledge that they're going to be engaged to each other and married to each other. What a wonderful thought this is. And you are married to Christ, the Lamb of God, and he's your Savior and your friend. What a wonderful blessing. That's what is the next step of this? You walk opposite ways. Lord, teach me thy ways. And then she do it. I will hold thy right hand, saying unto thee, fear not, for I am with thee. Fear not. What a wonderful blessing. I need him, I still need him. I often wonder what's going to happen to you. I did the other day. I had such difficulty in getting about and running about, having to go to shop and back in the house, wondering where the old scene would finish and the pain in my legs. And I said, Lord, what's going to happen? Then I rose this morning with a little easement, blessing him that he had given me the strength and the desire to once more, I will face and my face towards Zion. What for? Tell to sinners round, like I hope some of you will, what a dear Savior I have found, to point to his redeeming blood and say, oh, the way to God, I will teach you, and then I will guide you with my knowledge. Oh, the blessing to be under the control of the Savior. Bring back the direction of the lives and the eternal destiny of his dear people. In glory, Lord, may I be found, and with thy precious mercy, friend, join that glad song and their adore a precious promise forevermore. Amen.
The collection council today amounted to £65, which is a decent scale tax. God willing, Mr. Hill is expected to preach on Wednesday evening. Mr. J.W. Bass next Lord's Day. The ordinance of the Lord's Supper will, God willing, be observed after this evening service. And members of any other gospel standard church are willing to commune with us. The welcome to commune with us. Let us close by singing hymn number 341.
Mercy and peace from God the Father, the Son,